Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We are definitely a risk-averse profession. That's part of our job and training. And so the whole idea of talking to reporters and having quotes attributable to us or our clients, I think, gives us all a little bit of pause, or at least it should. So the idea with this speech is, you know, to be proactive, to think about some of these issues in advance so that you're ready for your next media encounter. But while this topic is meant to be practical, I also wanted to point out for our very highbrow audience that it's also a constitutional law topic. This deals with freedom of speech, freedom of the press. It deals with the right to a fair trial, and also common law issues like the attorney's duties to clients and attorney-client privileges and things like the judicial proceedings privilege or attorney immunity. And so this does touch on a lot of very academic subjects as well. But as we started planning and preparing for this, we quickly realized it is far too broad and rich of a topic to cover everything in 30 minutes. We've really had to narrow it down. So our plan for today is to cover the ethics rules that you should know as an attorney and also what applies to reporters. There's a brand new Texas Supreme Court decision just in time for this talk dealing with lawyer liability to third parties for their statements to the media. And then we'll finish with a practical side conversation about some of our, you know, tips and do's and don'ts with some of our real world experience. So starting off with ethics, this is the key rule that you need to know. When representing a client, lawyers give up some of their free speech rights. And the parties also have constitutional rights to a fair trial that are paramount. And so you have to have a way to balance these kinds of issues. So the trial publicity rule is the balancing rule that tries to account for all the different interests. And you can see right here with the general rule that it says, in the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not make an extrajudicial statement that a reasonable person would expect to be disseminated if by means of public communication, if the lawyer knows or reasonably should know that it will have a substantial likelihood of materially prejudicing an adjudicatory proceeding. A lawyer shall not counsel or assist another person to make such a statement. So the rule is a prohibition that no public statements, if you know or should know that it will have a substantial likelihood of materially prejudicing the proceeding, and you can't get somebody else to do your dirty work for you. So that's the rule. But then thankfully, it gives us a number of examples of what will and will not violate the rule. So in paragraph B, it says a lawyer ordinarily will violate this general rule if the likelihood of a violation increases, if the adjudication is ongoing or imminent, by making an extrajudicial statement of the type referred to. And then it gives a variety of examples. So we can see the character, credibility, reputation of a criminal record of a party, suspect in a criminal investigation or witness, or the expected testimony of a party or witness. So you can't go give your opening statement to the press and tell the press what you expect the evidence to show. Criminal case, we're gonna skip over. We're gonna focus today on civil rules. The performance, refusal to perform, or results of any examination or test, the refusal, failure of a person to allow or submit to an examination or test, or the identity or nature of physical evidence expected to be presented. Again, you can't preview evidence to the media. Any opinion as to the guilt or innocence of a defendant or a suspect in a criminal case or proceeding that could result in incarceration, or information the lawyer knows or reasonably should know is likely to be inadmissible as evidence in trial and would, if disclosed, create a substantial risk of prejudicing an impartial trial. So anything that you don't expect to be admitted, you couldn't preview to the press. A lawyer ordinarily will not violate paragraph A, and here's your safe harbor examples. By making an extrajudicial statement of the type referred to in the general rule, when the lawyer merely states, one, the general nature of the claim or defense, two, the information contained in a public record, 3, that an investigation of this matter is in progress, including the general scope of the investigation, the offense, claim, or defense involved. 4, except when prohibited by law, the identity of the persons involved in the matter. 5, the scheduling or result of any step in the litigation. Or 6, a request for assistance in obtaining evidence and information necessary thereto. A warning of danger concerning the behavior of a person involved when there is a reason to believe that there exists the likelihood of substantial harm to an individual or to the public interest. And 8, we've got a variety of items in a criminal case that are safe harbors that can be revealed. So you can see the rule tries to be as specific as possible with giving concrete examples of what will and will not ordinarily violate the rule. But going back to the general rule, what is material prejudice? Because this is the important qualification on the rule, is that all of this is prohibited unless if it's likely to cause material prejudice. So the comments explain that whether material prejudice exists normally depends on the circumstances in which a particular statement is made. For example, an otherwise objectionable statement may be excusable if it's reasonably calculated to counter the unfair prejudicial effect of another public statement.